Welcome to the Art of Construction Deep Dive Series with BuilderTrend, changing the way the world builds. In this three-part series, Devin Tilley of the Art of Construction will host BuilderTrend leaders and users to explore everything you need in one construction app. Listen in to see if your current software is holding your business back.
Welcome, Art of Construction Tribe. We're honored to bring you Deep Dive Episode Series 2. If you haven't listened to Episode 1 with Paul Wirth, go check it out. But this one, if you only have time to listen to this one, we're going to have so much fun. And I'm welcoming Dan Houghton to the stage. And Dan Houghton is the founder of BuilderTrend. This is Episode 2 in a three-part series. Number one, we have employee number one. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the founder, and episode three, a case study customer of theirs. And oh, baby, do I love to hear a story from the top when we get a conversation, and this guy is open and honest and tells it like it is, and that's like I passionately like to do here on The Art of Construction. We're going to hear from the founder's perspective, talking the story of building a company from him and his couple buddies to over 400 employees. Talk about the vision. Give us some case studies from his customer's perspective where they run a university that they run and take care of. And riding above all of that, man, it's the culture, baby. And that way you can achieve those goals. So we talk through that here today with BuilderTrend. We're going to have so much fun. Let's dive in and have a fireside chat with Dan. Lock and load, tribe.
What's your favorite beverage?
Coors Light.
Oh, man, a guy from Colorado tapping the Rockies?
That's right.
That's good stuff right there. Yep. My friends, we like to go Coors heavy once in a while, but you know, you got to watch how many of the Coors banquets you have with Coors Lights, right?
I hear you.
Good stuff. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Kenya.
Oh, cool. Give us a story from that.
I slept in a tent for about 70 straight days, no shower. So it was pretty wild. I was a young man. I was 19 when I was there. So I thought that was appropriate. I don't think I could do that at age 38 today.
Wow. So 70 days in a tent. What's one crazy story of the 70 nights in a tent?
We would have hyenas come up to the tent and they would push like the tent with their snouts or whatever their nose. And then we'd smack them and they would run off. So that was kind of crazy. I mean, again, like a dumb 19-year-old, your brain isn't fully developed. I thought it was kind of cool at the time. If my daughters tell me in 8 years they want to do that, I'll kill them. So, but it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, Dan, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena and the silos that have been built up that we passionately call the art of construction?
Yes. I would say my number one passion are my two daughters and my wife. That's the politically correct answer, but I love to play golf. And I would say it's kind of sad because I'm not that good, but that's how I like to spend my time in the summers when the weather's good.
Oh, man, I couldn't agree more. It's the family time and fun time, and that's where we get to work on our business, which is really important. I get to go to Bandon Dunes this year with 25 other executives and industry influencers, so I'm totally stoked for that.
I guess I'm obviously not important enough to get invited to that trip, but thanks for rubbing it in.
Oh, well, invite's on its way. Here we go. And that's the goal of this conversation is to get to know awesome people in the construction industry. And we – you know, there's times when I get to interview people that I am so jazzed for this because Dan is the guy that started BuilderTrend. And when I was working with his awesome marketing team building this stuff up, when I said, what are the kind of questions you want to ask and discuss? It was all the right stuff. It's about the vision and culture and growing the business. So we're going to use BuilderTrend, his company that he founded. And if you go back and listen to the episode with Paul, his employee number one, I get to guide this conversation with the people that built the awesome construction app of BuilderTrend. So, Dan, are you ready to go in and kind of tell the story of getting this thing launched?
You bet.
Awesome. So here we go. So how did BuilderTrend get started and what were your original goals when you launched this thing in 2006?
So I'll start with kind of the first question. Got started. So two of my buddies, two brothers, Jeff and Steve Duggar, I met when I was 14 years old, freshman year in high school in Omaha, Nebraska. So the three of us started this company in 2006. And I always make the point to tell whether it's our employees or anybody outside of BuilderTrend, Jeff and Steve Duggar are absolutely way smarter than I am. And if you're ever going to start a company, make sure you find co-founders that are smarter than you. And so I hit the jackpot on that. So long story short, I was working for another software company. They were doing some consulting tech consulting in their basement in our early 20s. You know, this is kind of right before the recession. So think 2006, 2005. And so a couple of home builders in Omaha, Nebraska came to them and said, hey, can you build us a website and some back-end tools so we can manage our schedule, some all this stuff, which was the early version of BuilderTrend. Long story short, after a lot of Coors Lights, one night they were telling me about this, and I said, holy shit, I'm doing this in the insurance industry. Like, we should start a company. And again, being young, our due diligence was limited, and we started a company. And that was July. I think we incorporated like June 28th, 2006, which was roughly 13 and a half years ago or whatever. So, you know, nobody really at the time thought it was sexy or cool to start a company, especially in tech, especially in Omaha, Nebraska. We were both, Steve and Jeff and myself, were all giving up careers to try this out. But it was obviously, it turned out to be the best decision we ever made. But the vision, your second part of that, the vision of BuilderTrend at that point, I always tell this because you if you go to these TED Talks or you go to these conferences, there's some dude on stage talking about kind of the morality around tech and all the stuff. I mean, really kind of no bullshit. We started this company to make more money than what we were doing in our previous jobs. Like, that was the sexiness behind it. Like, it was just a pure entrepreneur play on our side. And we basically then hired like five of our buddies right out of the gate. And so that's how we got started.
Yeah. And the thing I want to take away from that is that you really set up to make money instead of run a hobby. And I've met so many awesome tech people that it's like, well, what's the business plan and what's the core values and the culture behind running this tech business instead of you have a really cool idea and concept?
Yep.
Because that stuff doesn't make money. That's called a hobby. I did that for many years running a podcast called The Art of Construction. That was a hobby before I really put a business plan together to meet cool companies like BuilderTrend. So I want to kind of go down that vein and talk through there. So how's the mission changed over those quick 12 years, right? Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you kind of go from, it's a lot like I'll use the analogy of like just growing up. You know, you're an infant when you start a business, and you're naive and you're stupid and you're just trying to figure out how to eat and you're trying to find your hands, you know, and that's a lot what it felt like, quite honestly, when we first got started. Was every single day was a new day. And I talk to a lot of folks that are starting construction companies, and no matter what business, you're starting a laundromat, a restaurant, construction business, technology business. I think when you're first getting started and you're young or it's the first time you've ever done something, it's terrifying. And why I always tell people this is, I think Instagram, social media, whatever, just general media have like glamorized the startup world so much because of, you know, some of the grand slams like Facebook and these things, these billion-dollar unicorns. But for the most part, the 99.9% of the people like you and like me, it's absolutely terrifying and scary. So the mission was to survive in the early days. It was simply that. It was just to make sure we could meet payroll. It was make sure that we could make money. And it was make sure we could get to the next year. And so that mission from year one is completely different than it is today. However, our focus, not that it's not changed a lot of ways, but still is, how do we become the best company, both financially and how do we make our employees feel great about what they're doing here at BuilderTrend? We have a tagline that's called A Better Way. And the better way is for like having a better life in BuilderTrend for our employees, and it's a better way for our customers to operate. So that's really, I mean, in a short like answer, like our goal is to make it better for everybody else. That's the mission today.
Great stuff. And I really appreciate you giving the real startup story. And I'm excited to keep this conversation going in that vein, because it's lonely and it's not sexy at the top when you start. People, it's like, you know, I'm going to be super successful 12 years from now, you know, and that's the part that you have to, it's a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're one of those unicorns like you referenced. And those unicorns didn't just start overnight either. And sure, there's a lot of real stories behind the news story. So what part of BuilderTrend software do your clients say has most impacted their business? And we're super stoked to have one of your clients come in on the next episode to dangle the carrot. If you go back and listen to Paul, employee number one, and Dan in the middle with a customer at the end, but what's your perspective on that?
It's a tough question for me to answer because our software does a lot and we have a pretty diverse amount of, like, our clients, our customers are different in nature. So, you know, if you think about our customer base, we've got home builders, we've got remodelers, we've got specialty contractors, we've got commercial builders, typically when a customer comes to us, their goal is to formalize some portion of their business. You know, they maybe just got done with a job and they lost their ass on change orders, for example. And they lost $5,000-$10,000 on change orders. And they see that we have a change order solution and that's where they're going to spend their time. Or it's something to do with their financial situation and they want to have a purchase order system. So I wouldn't say there's one specific area in our program that is getting used more than others. I'm sure our data science team could come up with a much better answer than I have. But the reality is every business we work with is really different. And that is probably one of the most challenging parts of our job and our perspective is, you know, identifying the small business in Denver, Colorado, whose goal is to go from 2 million to 5 million. And then there's a business in LA doing 15 million. And their goal is just to make sure they can operate more efficiently. But we have coaches, our client success team, our customer success team, that's their goal to figure that out in the kickoff calls with our customers. And that's how we go about it.
Cool. So what stories of kind of client success have really touched you over the years? As you know, if correct me if I'm wrong, when you started this thing is you and two buddies to hire five more buddies to now you have over 400 buddies in the team, right?
Yeah. I don't know if they all think they like, I don't know if they all like me. I don't know if they call me their buddy, but I think they're all my friends. Everybody's nice to the boss. That's what my wife always says to me. She's like, you know, people just are nice to you because you're in charge. But so yeah, like, I think the biggest success for us is I look, you know, we have Builder Training University. So really we don't get to see our customers very often. We get to see them in a few conferences like the International Builder Show. We host Builder Training University once a month. We'll have about 50 to 100 customers come in during that time. And for me, what I've always say I love about our business, my favorite thing about our business is we're not selling to corporate America. We're not selling enterprise software and building the software for, you know, FedEx or Union Pacific or some giant company where they have a purchasing department. And really, you know, it doesn't matter how much they spend on the software. And at the end of the day, it's some chief executive's just mandate to buy something. We're selling and supporting software to really small business owners. Like what I think, it sounds kind of cheesy, but like what America's built on, you know, a lot of family businesses, a lot of couples that are working together. And really what these people are doing, every time they make a decision to spend money, they're thinking about what is that ROI to their life, not only their business, but also to their life. And so the stories that always touch me is when I get a hug from someone and they're like, probably my favorite story was one of our first Builder Training University, and I think we caught it on camera actually, but this gentleman came up to me and goes, I would be absolutely dead if I didn't have Builder Trend. And I'm like, that is the most dramatic thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But what he was really saying is I was so stressed out. I was having, you know, my cholesterol was through the roof. I was really struggling, not only personally and professionally. And then all of a sudden I got my shit together because I got Builder trying to help me organize my business. And I'm in a much better place today. That to me is why we're in business. You know, hearing a story like that, like it almost brings tears to my eyes because, you know, day in, day out, we're just going to work just like everybody else is. And you know, a lot of times you focus on the negative stuff and you hear something really positive like that. I think it really makes it all worthwhile, quite honestly.
Cool, man. Thanks for sharing that story. That's really cool stuff. So now I'm really getting intrigued as, you know, this podcast is built for contractors and its affiliates to grow their business. And if you don't have good systems, either you're growing or dying. I would challenge most of them are dying, especially in the world where things are really rapidly moving in that technology sector. So from your perspective, what are some of your clients' desired outcomes, like when you mentioned the Builder Trend University, and how does Builder Trend help achieve them over the years that you've seen this happen?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you on. And it's always, I always am cautious to say something like this because it seems like a little bit of a gut punch to somebody that maybe is holding back or they're doing things the old school way. But the world will pass us all by. You know, I heard Jeff Bezos make a comment that Amazon will die someday. You know, we're seeing it with Sears right now. We're seeing it with GE. We're seeing it with GM, you know, closing plants. Some of the world's greatest companies really for the last 100 years are going through these phases where they're dying. And we see it because they didn't adapt, right? Sears didn't have a strong online presence. And so the same thing, if Sears has the ability to die, the greatest retail store in the 20th century has the ability to die now, our businesses, especially in the construction industry, are very vulnerable to not be successful. And so there's a lot of things I see in the construction industry that I see people struggle with, and I see people, you know, really gain a lot of momentum when they make some decisions. And those decisions are really about what they want to be and what they want their business to be. I mean, I see a lot of contractors really succeed in spite of themselves. They don't know why they're successful, or they don't know why they're not successful. And I think that's, it's really important to figure out as a business owner or a leader of an organization, you know, what you want to be. And so if your goal is to make $200,000 of net income, well, put a plan together that's going to make you $200,000. Don't just make $200,000 and be like, oh, holy shit, we had a good year. And then the following year, you make $60,000 or you lose $200,000. And you go, why did I lose $200,000? So the only way you can really do that, whether you're in construction or technology or you're doing podcasts for a living, it doesn't really matter what business you're in, is setting up systems, setting up goals, and having desired outcomes. And so, you know, technology is just like a tool, like a hammer or like a saw or like anything else. It's as good as its user in a lot of ways. We've built a fantastic platform. I think the best platform in the industry. But at the end of the day, our platform is just sitting there waiting for someone to utilize it. You know, I can't swing a hammer. I can't do it. Like I look miserable doing it. But if somebody that's, you know, a carpenter, like, knocks it out of the park, right? So it's all about what you want to accomplish. And one thing I tell everybody, especially if they're newer to technology, and I'm not a technologist by any means, is don't have to hit a grand slam. You don't have to do everything right out of the gate. You know, set up a few little goals that you really need to accomplish now. For example, I'll say scheduling. You know, just getting your crews or yourself in the right place and meeting the expectations of the customer is not something that difficult to do. Improving your communication, daily logs. So you can pull out your phone, tell your customer, tell your team what you accomplished. That takes like 30 seconds a day. And so just the little things like that, the quick wins, is where I would suggest that most people, you know, start. But then set up goals. Like, this is what you want to accomplish. I want to get scheduling and daily logs, you know, figure it out in the first 6 months why I use BuilderTrend. And the next 6 months after that, I really want to jump into, you know, change orders and purchase orders. And that might be a little bit more heavier lifting for a certain customer. So the long-winded answer is, based on where your biggest hotspots are in your business is where you should start, but you have to put a plan together. Don't just kind of go into something blindly. It'll never work, in my opinion.
Great stuff. And what we always talk about is find the biggest pain and fix it, because there's two things we don't have enough of, and it's time is first and money is second.
Yep.
So we really have to scale and build our business around, ask yourself the question, wake up as a business owner or a leader. This is on you as the leader to define this stuff and look yourself in the mirror and say, how do I eat this elephant?
Yep.
One bite at a time. And that's what he's talking about. But to scale up above that, there's one thing that rides above everything. And I was so jazzed when I got the list of questions they wanted me to talk about. And the word that hovers above everything is, you better define your why and build a culture. And when I looked at BuilderTrend, that's the reason why they went from 1 to 400 employees, is that when I researched and had the pleasure of meeting some cool people on their team, culture is what rides above that. So when I say the word culture, tell me about BuilderTrend culture, Dan.
Yeah. So I think culture is probably, in my opinion, when I think about BuilderTrend, is the most important thing to our success. I think culture drives innovation. I think culture drives accountability. I think culture drives a place that you want to work at. You know, we have a bunch of new hires today, and I'll share this information with them. I'll talk about our culture. And if you look at a tech company and you look at the videos of what our company looks like, yeah, I mean, it looks cool. There's beer on tap. There's ping pong tables. There's putting greens. It's cool office space. But that's all a facade for culture. That's all, like, you know, honestly, like, that anybody can have a ping pong table in their office. Culture, in my opinion, is really how you treat people, no matter who they are and what position they are in the company, whether it's the guy that started the company or it's the person that's cleaning up at night when we're not around. Everybody in this company is the exact, we're all people. We all have similar DNA. And just because somebody's pay grade is different doesn't mean they're not as important. And so as I think about culture, I also think about all the shit we're dealing with outside of work. And one of the things we try to focus on, you know, if you think about someone's life, they're dealing with sick parents. Maybe somebody's going through a divorce. Maybe somebody's struggling with depression. Maybe somebody's sick themselves. and really how your organization around the challenges that people face both in and out of work is what makes a company great, in my opinion. So when I think about culture, you know, one rule we have here is we have an absolute no asshole policy. And so if somebody's not nice or they're just a straight up asshole, they're not going to work here because we don't want to work with assholes. It's not very much fun to work with people that are mean and backstabbing and try to climb over you to get to somewhere else. That doesn't make a successful company, and it's awful for culture. So, you know, that's one example of what our culture is. But at the end of the day, I remember, and I was relatively young when we started this, I was 25, and I always thought if I could do it different, this is how I would do it. And so that stuck with me, you know, and the reality is like, people want to, you ask me a question like, what's my hobby? I like to spend time with my family. I like to play golf. Like, most people are working because they have a passion outside of work. You know, they have a family they want to support. They have hobbies they want to do. They want to spend time at church and volunteer and do all these things that honestly, when they're sitting around in their later years of life, that's what they're going to remember. And so we want to make sure that we can provide the best life, like I mentioned earlier, for our team inside of BuilderTrend, but more importantly, outside of BuilderTrend. I mean, my favorite thing as a dude that started this company is when I see people get married, buy new cars, buy new houses, have babies. I mean, that's the stuff that's awesome. That is like the coolest stuff in the world. So when I think about culture, that's how I kind of think about it.
Awesome, man. I love the no asshole rule. I live that as well. So that's where I have the pleasure. We do the pre-interview on all our podcasts, and I make sure that I'm not an asshole to them and they're not an asshole to me, because it's about getting the right fit to make it work. I love, you know, when Peter Drucker says culture eats strategy for breakfast, and you and I are passion guys, but you have to have really good team inside for that proper strategy. But when it comes to culture, how has that made you guys successful?
Yeah. So, I mean, culture is, again, it's, I think accountability we've built, you know, if you think about, you know, our values or how we think about ourselves, we think about obviously our widget, which is our product. You know, we have to build at the end of the day, if you're not constantly innovating, constantly changing, not providing the market the best product, we're going to be one of those dying companies, even if you have a great culture. But culture can drive that product, in my opinion. So we think about our product, we think about our customers. Our customers are the lifeblood to us. When our customers are successful, we're extremely successful. And that's obviously the goal. But you know, the culture side of this is the team part of this. And so it's the 425 people that work here. And so I love accountability. I love clear direction. You can't expect people to do things if they don't know what they're supposed to do. And I have been very guilty in the last 13 years of not giving clear direction. And I've been fortunate to hire great people and have great people grow up in our company who have figured out how to provide great, clear direction to our team. You know, there was many times when we were first starting, you know, it was a total shit show, honestly. And it's just like the businesses that a lot of our customers, you know, and the folks that are listening to this, they're struggling and they don't know where to begin. And at some point, you've got to make that decision what kind of business you want to be. I mean, I think 6 years ago, we had less than 50 employees. So there's been some rapid growth, but it came because people care about what they're doing. We held people accountable. And most importantly, like, people love coming to work here for the most part. I know everybody has bad days and that's part of life, but a lot of people are smiling and working really hard here. And to me, that's what makes this thing work.
Awesome. And you mentioned the word core values. I couldn't agree more. And you have to have those key measurables. And in all of my companies, the top measurable year over year is to define a goal of how many people you need, but the measurable is how many smiling faces. And sometimes that stuff can sound cheesy, but dude, that's what it's all about. Like, is if you want to scale and grow a business, what would be your take from that? And, you know, how would your clients benefit when you and I, as the leaders of our companies, talk about culture?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like, it's what I guess what's the opposite of cheesy, right? So like, if it's considered cheesy, then it's considered like what, just tough and rough, you know? It's like not, I mean, I maybe I am a cornball a little bit, obviously, but the reality is like, if we're going to be here at work, we might as well have some fun and we might as well enjoy what we're doing. I mean, what's the point, right? So I think our customers benefit from our culture because they get to talk to our people all day long. I mean, we're spending, I don't know what the talk time is on how often we're on the phone, but it's an incredibly, I mean, we're doing 250 trainings a day with our customers and call each one, you know, takes an hour. So I believe our customers benefit from our culture in a lot of different ways, but mostly the interacting with our people. I mean, that's the best compliment I can ever get. And I'll get it at Builder Trend University quite often, or at a trade show where I run into someone. It's like, dude, the person I'm working with, I got this last week, and was, Christina, one of our CSMs here, they literally said, this is the best person we've ever worked with in our entire life in any capacity outside of our own company. And to me, that is the ultimate compliment you can get as someone that started this company. And that doesn't come from me. That comes from Christina being a fantastic person who gives a shit about our customers and does the right thing. And that's been part of our culture, and she drives that. And so when we hire somebody, you know, today we've got 15 new people starting, they're going to see Christina in action, and they're going to want to model their behaviors around Christina and all the other people that are doing great things in our company. You know, I think that's the kind of immediate impact I see our customers getting from our culture. And at the end of the day, culture is driving innovation. So if our software engineers are happy and they're motivated and excited about what they're going to do, they're going to build a great quality product. And it's no different than if you're installing a window and you're accountable and you really care about what you're doing, and you don't want to have send somebody out there to refix your work for warranty. I mean, you know as well as I do, and so do the contractors listening, there's shortcuts you can take out there that will make your job get done faster. There are shortcuts you can have out there where you don't answer your customer's phone call because you know they're going to call and bitch at you about something. And so the question is, what kind of contractor do you want to be? What kind of business owner do you want to be? And if you want to be great at what you do, if you want to do great things and build a good customer base, you take that phone call. You show up for that warranty job and you respond to that text message. So, you know, we've had customers that have called us out for doing something wrong and we'll own up to it, just like every other, you know, good business should. So I think that's what our customers benefit from the most from our culture.
Awesome stuff. And I like to say, my global megaphone is a podcasting platform, and my local business is a window and door company. But at the end of the day, if you want to grow your business and have a lot of fun, you're in the people business. And in the people business, you're in the handshake and the relationship business. When I listen to you talk about your platform, yeah, you've built the number one construction app platform with Builder Trend, but how you've done that is by giving a shit about your people, both internally and externally, and your team is building relationships. When a contractor wants to come up and give you a hug, and that's the world of podcasting, where certain people I listen to podcasts that have been mentors of mine as I've been building up my platforms. If I saw Donald Miller with the Story brand in an airport, I'd run up and hug the dude like I know him and he's an awesome guy without ever meeting him. And that's the thing today in the world of noise, in the world of where construction is going. It's a different platform that you have to think about other than the old school way of doing it on the job site. Those, like you mentioned, companies that are moving and changing. And when he says Amazon's going to go away someday, that just really hit me when you say that kind of stuff, like JCPenney's and Sears and the today's stuff that we grew up with. So the only constant is change, and you have to get over that F word of fear is really where I would say on that. So in conclusion, Dan, thanks so much for coming in and telling your story about building this company. But if there's one thing that I want you to really leave our contractors and affiliates to grow their business, what's that one thing that you've seen from one employee to over 415, you said, starting today, man? We're proud of you here on the Art of Construction for what you're doing. But what do you want to leave the listening audience to say? What can they do to really grow their business of seeing your business grow to help them? Because that's what this is all about, is for people to grow their business.
Yeah, I'll kind of answer it in two ways. I think, first of all, everybody thinks everybody else has it figured out. People think I have it figured out because I'm on this podcast. I don't have it figured out. I'm trying to figure it out every single day, right? Make a lot of mistakes, always trying to get better. And it's always easy to look across the street and say, they're doing it better. They've got it together. Why aren't we doing it? And again, we live in this world of kind of photoshopped images and smiling people, you know, sitting in private jets and all that good stuff. And the reality is, life is really hard. And it's really hard when you're running a business. It's really hard when you've got kids. It's not easy for anyone. So it's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to have a serious, hard conversation. These are all things that every, you know, CEO, every business owner is dealing with at every single level. I mean, it's nobody's perfect. Nobody's that smart. But I would say the one thing that we've been really successful at that I am very fortunate that I have two business partners. And I'm the one answering the questions, but I lean on those guys as much as anyone. And we actually have a unique setup here where we don't actually have any C-level titles. So I'm not the CEO. We don't have a CFO. We don't have a CTO. And that's been by design. We manage by a committee. We have a large leadership team, but essentially me and my two partners, you know, we have the equity in the business and we make decisions as a team, you know, and there's egos that get hit in those decision-making skills. I've been wrong many times and they've been wrong a few times, probably less than I have been. but it's hard. And so I do think when you're alone running a business, and I'm not sure you're set up or not, but that's extremely hard because there's only so much bandwidth that you have. So if you are alone running a business, I would say be very careful and try to hire people, obviously smarter than yourself, give them some freedom to make great decisions, but also lean on your neighbors. I mean, you live in a community like Denver. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. There are so many good people in this town that I've leaned on over the years to ask questions and saying, hey, I'm just not getting this, or I'm having this issue, or what did you do when you were this size? And in my opinion, most people usually welcome questions like that with open arms. And at some point, you know, I get those calls from guys that are trying to start businesses, and I have open arms for them. So don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. I will say this, once you understand the money and how to budget and how to forecast and how to set goals, it makes a world of a difference. So find somebody that can understand the money, because that's how you operate a business.
Man, that is gold, because I'm feeling the vibe. You and I are the big picture relationship, but don't expect what you don't inspect. So if you're not good at finances and numbers, get help. Yep. And BuilderTrend can be one of those great coaches to help you build that platform. And then you can have something really good to go sit when you go ask help from your accountant or your lawyer, or your tax, all those different things. But you have to have any kind of system, whether you're chucking a truck or you want to be BuilderTrend someday with over 400 employees. So Dan, thanks so much for coming in and tell us your story. And BuilderTrend, sign up to be set up with Art of Construction. We're big fans of you guys, and awesome. We've been awesome to see you guys grow and continue on. Look forward to, we're launching this stuff after BuilderTrend or at the International Builders Show. We'll meet up with you there. Cool. And have so much fun and continue to grow in our business together. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Yeah, thanks so much. Enjoyed it.
Awesome, man. Ooh-wee! That is gold for running a business. There's no doubt why we all know BuilderTrend is at the top. It's about the people and how he's built it up. I am honored to have Dan come in and tell us that story and be associated with cool people like that and cool companies like BuilderTrend. Make sure you listen to all three parts of the series. And man, if you're not using one of these platforms, if you haven't heard enough to check it out, I don't know where you're missing, because it must mean you don't want to grow your business, because either you're growing or dying, and this is for the people that want to grow. So go to BuilderTrend if you're not using them and put in the code AOC60. We're honored that they're giving you an additional 30 days. So for 60 days through the Art of Construction community, you can use their platform. So call to action, tribe. Go check it out. Thanks for listening. I'm honored to lead this global megaphone. And if anybody else wants to jump on board and it's a right fit, because we're going to make sure we have that pre-interview like I talked about in the show and make sure it's a good mutual fit to help you grow your business and have the no blank blank beep beep rule. Crush it out there, tribe. Have so much fun. Thanks for listening.